Hope everyone's enjoyed their Christmas holiday and are enjoying the season. I got my Christmas shirt on, so we had a good time. And the question you hear a lot, especially for kids, is did you get everything you wanted for Christmas? And we ask kids that, and of course us mature Christians know that it's not about what we want. You know, we don't want bad wants. We are happy with what we need, right? Because we don't, wants are bad, evil, bad want, down want. Because David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? So we say, oh. But Jesus said, whoever wants to be great must learn to be a servant of all. He didn't scold anyone for wanting to be great. And Jesus said, you may ask me for anything, and I'll do it. I will do it. So ask me anything in my name, and there's some particulars, and I'll do it. So you mean it's okay to want? It's not ungodly to want? You have not because you ask not. You have to want something to ask for something that God wants to give us. Wants to honor us. And there's a lot that can be said, but I think we can all agree that God wants good things for his kids. Can we all say, yep, yeah, we agree with that? God wants good things for us, and it's not bad to want good things for yourself and want good things for others beyond ourselves. It's healthy. It can be a healthy thing to want good things. So how we go about it matters, of course. Though, and I want to get into that. For example, our 2018 church memory verse, which anyone know, remember? All these things, seek first, we'll say it together. Good. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You didn't put that up before we started saying it, did you? Okay, good. All right, good, good. Eyes in the back of my head. No, that's good. God knows we need things, we want things, and he says, seek me first. As Tony mentioned, seek first. Maybe it's just a good memory verse. I hope you hide that in your heart. Seek first the kingdom of God, but all these things, and there's priorities in all these things. There's certain issues that are priorities, and I believe God wants good things for us all in 2019. He has good things in mind for us in this coming year, and I want to look at keys to a wonderful new year. So I want to pray, Father, we just pray that you would speak to us. Thank you for this season that we're in. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for 2018, God, and all that you did in us and through us. And help us, God, to hear from you. Thank you that you are here as we gather in your name, that you're in our midst. So Lord, bless this time, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So 2018 may have been great or not so great for you, depending on what your definition of great is. And there's different approaches to going into a new year. Sometimes the most difficult things in our lives become some of the greatest things in our life later. We don't necessarily see it right away, but God, who loves us, works in us difficult things, allows difficult things, and sometimes those things are what really define who we are. And that's part of losing our life for his sake. We lose our life for him, and he helps us to find our lives, who we really are. But we can make resolutions of what we will or won't do that'll last until about mid-January. And then there's the rest of the year to think about, though. So we got to think about, you know, the other 11 and a half months. And I know there's certain, you know, in considering New Year's message, there's a lot of scripture and a lot of ways to go. We can forget what lies behind. We can forget about 2018. We can forgive whatever grievances, or we can get free of sin, overcome things, and those are all important, and those are all biblical things But those are all pretty, that's the one side of the coin, the negative side of the coin, about forgetting and not focusing on the bad. And when we try to not focus on the bad, what are we focused on? The bad. Typically, we're saturated in it. So I want to look at what God gave the Israelites as they were coming into the promised land, the new promised land. And I know we're not under the Old Testament law, but this is how God instructed his people, who he loved, who he delivered out of bondage, out of Egypt, and brought them into a land flowing with milk and honey, the promised land. And because I believe God speaks some pretty good things to us for a new year, some good goals. And some of them, I just want to say, what are some good goals for 2019? That it would go well. Is that a good goal? That it would go well? That's a legitimate request. That we enjoy not only this year, but a long life. Because this is what God wants to give us all and promised to give. And that we would be fruitful and multiply. That'd be a good thing. I'm blessed to have most of my Crombie tribe here from out of town for the holiday. And there's a real blessing in multiplication. And God wants that for us. And these are some really good things to want for the new year. That it would go well. That you'd enjoy a long life. That you'd be fruitful and increase greatly. And I want to read out of Deuteronomy 6. They are in the promised land, or they just received the Ten Commandments. They're not in the land yet. And these are some instructions that God gave through Moses. And I'll just read a couple of verses. These are the commands. This is Deuteronomy 6:1. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. And I just want to stop there. Well, I'll read the second. So that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all these decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. I want to stop there. So these are some instructions that Moses says God gave me to instruct you. These aren't just good advice from some person. These aren't good advice. This isn't good advice based on circumstances or from some, from the internet. This is advice and instructions that came from the Almighty to a people that he loves. And these are the same instructions that God gives us and gives you for your life, for you, as you came in, crossing the Kanan or the Strait River to Faribault to possess. You came in, and God has these instructions for you, for your children, and for their children. So God is talking about three generations that are at stake here. And he wants good for us. He loves you. And he says that you would enjoy long life. So this is not just advertisement from a fitness club about getting smaller bellies. This is not just a temporal thing. This is multi-generational. Would you like to have a great impact for generations? I would. That's an awesome expectation. And God says, here's how you do it. Here's how you do it. And there's an overarching value here that I just want to put over. If I could hang a sign that has one word on it, or maybe three words, but fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. Over all this message, over these passages, the overarching value is have a fear of God. And it says, back to verse 2, it says, so that your children, their children after them, may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping these things that I give you, so that you may enjoy long life. So these are some really good things. I thought about a title, Happy New Fear. That would work. And what does it mean to fear the Lord? We know generally it's not primarily a negative thing. It's primarily a very positive thing. That's why we can say happy new fear. It's a good thing. It's more than respect and awe, and it's absolutely that. It's to respect and be in awe of God. He is the Almighty. He is the sovereign, holy God, unlike any other. There is no one like our God. He sees all. He knows all. He cares about all. But there's a fear of God that says, in your everyday life, God is alive. God sees me. God is looking over, watching over me, and watching out for me. He sees us. He knows every thought, every intention of our heart. He's real. And one day, I'm going to stand before Him and give account for my life. And that should be a great motivator for your everyday in the most public moment of your life and in the most private moment of your life, to have a healthy, right fear of God. That will change your decisions. That will impact your investments of your time, your talents, your resources, your stuff. When you have daily an awareness, an increased understanding and knowing the reality that whether you're alone, hidden, or out in the open for all to see, God knows you. God is real. The Almighty watches over and He cares for you. And He is not just there to smack you when you step out of line. There's a healthy fear. There's, when you're raising kids, you know, punishment and reward go hand in hand. There should be both. There should be consequences that are negative, and there should be consequences that are positive. In fact, the word fruit in the Bible is neither a negative nor a positive. It's just what comes of decisions, the fruit of your labor, the fruit of that sin, the fruit of righteousness. There's always something that comes from our decisions of what we do. And so God is saying, you know, remember that He's there. That He, let the fear of the Lord be on you and on your children, on your grandchildren. And that will bring long life. That will you will enjoy long life. It will go well with you. There's so many things. This is the overriding banner, fear the Lord. If you increased in the fear of the Lord in 2019, it will benefit you, it'll benefit your children, it'll benefit your grandchildren. For generations. Not, oh, he's the man upstairs, he's the big guy, and he's the, that's, can I just say baloney and poppycock? It's like, reject that perspective of the Almighty. He is to be feared. It is a fearful and a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And I don't want to, it's not to scare anyone, but it's to say, God is real. He is awesome. And we're going to stand before Him. And He paid an incredible price so that we could be blessed in 2018. And I want you to think about, and I'm going to ask later, some testimonies. I know we've all gone through some difficult things, challenging things, and wonderful things. And I want to hear from two or three brief testimonies at the end of the service here. But God is faithful. He's real and alive, and He loves us with an everlasting love, and He has good things in mind for 2019. But there's certain things that we can position ourselves. There's the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom for a new year. This is where wisdom starts. If you want wisdom, start with the fear of God. Because otherwise there's circumstances in our own understanding that will carry us off into crazy directions. Start with the fear of the Lord. Like faith and works, they go hand in hand. The fear of God and the love of God. The mercy of God and the judgment of God. There's a tension there that has to be in place. when you think about God is for you. Yes, God is for you, but God is wants you for him. Okay, with the sword drawn, Joshua asked the angel of the Lord, are you for us or against us? And he said, neither. And God is looking for us to be for him. There's a tension there. It's like, well, you mean he's against me? No, he's not against you. He loves you. Yeah, he loves you, but he also calls you to walk with him and follow him, not him follow you. Psalm 147 says, the Lord delights in those who fear him, meaning those who put their hope in his unfailing love. That's a fear of the Lord means you are putting your hope in his unfailing love. The fear of God and the love of God are two sides of the same coin. And keep that tension. That's a healthy, good tension. All right, so then verse 3 says, hear, O Israel, hear, O Pharaoh, and be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your fathers, promised you. He promised it for a long time before it actually manifested. God has promises, and all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. But we have to, isn't it interesting that he promised them the promised land filled with blessings, filled with cities they didn't build and vineyards they didn't plant and gardens they didn't plant, and then he says, I want you to fight. I promise to give you this, but I want you to fight these nations and eradicate them out of this land I promised to give you. And God will have us fight for things. It's not just a free-for-all, gimme, passive, hand it over, and all right, God, I don't need you anymore. God will have us fight for things. He wants to have us fight for what he promised to give us to enjoy. So God's intention all along was to bless Israel, and it's the same for us. His intention is to bless us in the new year. That's why he saved us. That's why he sent his son. That's why he forgave us of our sins, because he loves us and wants the best for us, our children, and our children's children forever. So how do we live in a way to enjoy a long life and have things go well in 2019? I want to look at verse 4 and 5. Says, hear, O Israel, and I'll again say, hear, O Pharaoh, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. That's it. All right. Have a nice day. Here we go. Just do that. Run along. No. This is so simple, so important. God instructed Israel to love him with all of three parts of them. And he instructs us all of three parts of us. And I want to say, we tend to make decisions, like say New Year resolutions, with three parts of us that are not these. Like we get it in our heads. We use our heads. We think this is a good idea. We make decisions by, hey, I think it'd be a smart thing to do. To join that fitness club. Of course, can't argue with that. Smart thing. Just use that as an example. Then eyes. You know, we make decisions with our eyes. That looks really good. That looks like a good thing. That looks like a good cookie that I should probably eat right now because it's just going to go to waste. It's going to go to my waste. And we're motivated by appearances or that, you know, that, I'll just, health club, sorry, I'm just going to nail health club, fitness clubs. Look at that six-pack and that photo of that guy on that ad. That looks good. That's what I'm going to go for. And so, of course, it makes sense with our heads. It looks good with our eyes, whatever it might be. And then we make decisions with our bellies. And it's even in the scripture, their gods are their stomachs, what they enjoy. And basically, it's saying what tastes good, what feels good. We make decisions by what we think feels good. New Year resolutions are an example of all the wrong reasons of making decisions like that. But The best decisions are made at the heart and the soul level. The most crucial decisions are made at the heart and with the soul in mind. The deep conviction. And it says we're to love God with all of our heart and our soul. But first, what is love? What does the Bible mean? What is the scripture talking about with love? Is it an emotionally charged? Is it a feeling? Maybe. Comes and goes. Not to gross out my adult children and their spouses here, but the first time I kissed their mother, it was like an out-of-body experience. It was amazing. Sorry. It was like I was floating in air. The first kiss. And now imagine if it stayed that way. We've kissed thousands of times. We've been married 33 years. Imagine if it was like that every time. I have to tie a cinder block to my leg, my ankle. I would, you know, goodbye, honey, in the morning. Whoa. You know, hold on now. And it doesn't, emotions, you know, Twitter patient doesn't last. It's not a basis for making decisions. Emotions come and emotions go. And things are really awesome and things get real and it's not always, you can't maintain. That's not meant to be maintained. Love the Lord. Is that an emotional, wow, I love Jesus? It's like, it starts that way, started that way for me when God got a hold of my life. And it was amazing, but eventually, and at that point, you're so young in, and it's so new, and everyone's doing everything for you, a lot like being born, naturally, everyone's doing everything for you, changing your diaper, burping you, feeding you, clothing you, taking you here and there, and giving you shots, and, you know, training you, and it starts that way. You just, Jesus is awesome, and everyone's amazing, and things are happening, but eventually God says, I want you to start taking out the garbage. I want you to start having some responsibilities. I want you to start contributing to this thing called the kingdom of God. I want you to grow up. And it's not that emotions are worthless and it's all bad, but there's, how do you love the Lord? It's not just an emotional response. It's a decision of the will. It's a choice of conviction, that circumstances and feelings may come and go. Feelings will deceive. Feelings are nice, but they're not trustworthy for making big decisions. So it's all fun, but love is an act of the will. I know it doesn't make the top 10 coffee mug verses, but Jesus connects love with obedience. You won't see on a coffee cup, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Right? It's just not the coffee cup verse, because it follows up by anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. It's like, where's the gaga in that? It's like, you're called, Jesus says, if you love me, you'll obey me. You'll do what I say, whether you feel gaga or not. Where you feel euphoric, God doesn't really care about you feeling euphoric to honor him. He says, you want it to go well with you? I want it to go well with you. He wants more than we want. He wants it to go well with us. He has incredible stories and ways to enhance and direct your lives that are beyond what you could ever script. Beyond any Hollywood script, you couldn't do it. And God is so amazing and awesome, but he wants to bless us, and he says, it's simple, love me with all your heart, soul, and strength, and love is a decision of the will, it's not a feeling. It's easy to say we love God, but obedience shows it. Obedience to his word shows it. So do you want it to go well for generations? Love them with all three of these parts. The first is the heart. Love them with all your heart. The heart, from the heart come the issues of life. From the heart come the convictions, the deep. And the heart is includes the mind, but it says the out of the heart flows, out of the mouth comes the overflow of the heart. And the heart is the place where you make decisions that go beyond your mind. You can have great understanding of something or other and still feel in your heart it's the right or the wrong thing to do. And typically, it's better to go with your heart than with your head. Because we all see in part, we all know in part, but the heart, God works through. From there, God speaks. And then to be wholehearted, not half-hearted, with your whole heart. Be all in, decide with the whole heart. The Lord dwells there. He dwells there. He dwells in all of us, but our minds can trick us. Our minds, we can be so sure of something and be completely wrong. Because we only know in part. We only have partial information or sometimes wrong information. And so you can have what you think is right information, and it's like, it's a no-brainer, we should do this. But in my heart, it's like, it doesn't feel right. It doesn't seem right. And that's a good thing to go with. And God will speak. So love Him with all your heart. Love Him in 2019, in that area of deep conviction where you ponder the important issues and the benefits, and there's consequences, good and bad. You can ponder all those things. You can make your list of pros and cons, but make a wholehearted decision to love the Lord in 2019. And trust the Holy Spirit to speak to you about what that looks like practically. And we'll go there a little more, but practically in your life, what that means to love the Lord with your life every day. Then it says, love Him with all your soul. Now, it's a similar area, but I just, I think of it as, it's the area of the mind, will, and emotions. But it's the area, too, so that's similar to the heart. It's like, yeah, we think about it, we weigh things out, we weigh out the consequences, we weigh what is this for my life, and this is for my children and their children, what I'm doing with my life. We weigh it out, the good and the bad. We make a wholehearted decision, but we commit at the soul level, and that is the eternal. There's an aspect of the soul that's eternal. It's the heart is a kind of a now. It's like, yeah, I'm going to make this decision, I'm going to do this, I'm going to love the Lord now, but love Him with all your soul, and your soul is eternal. And, you know, in this day and age, we don't talk like this, but back in the day, the newspapers would say, you know, 100 souls were lost in this tragedy. Titanic, 1,503 souls were lost. It went beyond the body. It went beyond just a tangible, physical, yeah, they died. No, it's a soul. A soul went on, an eternal soul went on into the next realm. To love the Lord with all your soul has in mind that God is eternal. You and I are eternal. God says, think on things above. Get your mind on things above. Teach us, O Lord, to number our days. Dwell with God in the kingdom of eternity, of forever. You're not just making decisions for your life now and for your children now. Love the Lord God with all your soul. Think of 2019 in a way with all your soul that this matters for a long time. There's consequences that will reverberate, that will echo in heaven forever. What you're doing with your life. Love Him with that eternal part, that deep, deepest conviction part that includes the reasoning mind, includes the weighing out of your heart. But love Him in that deepest place, that eternal place, that with a view of the eternal with God. Love Him with all your soul. That will influence, that will give you perspective for 2019 that I think is wonderful. So you love Him with all your heart, get your soul engaged, love Him with all your strength. with your natural, your physical might. And the physical follow-through happens so much better when the heart and the soul have decided. And I'm saying even, and I'll say even a fitness club membership, if you have decided in your heart and soul, this is gonna, you will follow through. It'll last more than 2 weeks. There's certain things that you decide at that level, you will follow through no matter what the circumstances are that come. And circumstances will come. When you're serious about God, circumstances will fight that. There is an enemy. Your flesh, the world, and the devil are real. They will fight. But when you've decided that you know at that heart level, at that deep soul level, this is the way to go, this is what I'm going to do, it's like letter buck. You will go through it much in a stronger way than if you're just kind of half-hearted, kind of sort of think it's a good idea with your head or with your eyes or with your belly. Schedule God into your day. Make it a priority. Start your day with time at His feet. I just want to challenge you to make time with the Lord a top priority for 2019. That's with Him in His Word. Stop making excuses. Oh, I'm not a good reader. Oh, I don't have time. You have time. If you got really sick, you'd have time to get that looked at. Somehow time would just manifest. It would just show up. You know, you'd have time to deal with that whatever thing. You have time to invest in your relationship with God. You have time to do what it takes to enjoy long life. You have time to do what it takes to increase greatly. You have time. Plan it. Plan connection. The New Year's Eve party, if it works out for your schedule, plan it. If there's no conflict with other plans, plan to be together with the body of Christ, which is where the Lord dwells. It says, wherever two or more gather in my name, there am I in their midst. And he says, the place of unity among the brothers is in the body of Christ is where he bestows. There the Lord bestows his blessing. Don't listen to the liar. Don't listen to excuses. Oh, I'm tired. Oh, they don't care about me. I don't contribute. It's like, can I say baloney? Baloney. And poppycock? That's the circumstance that is only in the head level. Yeah. That's making decisions in the head level and not in the heart and the soul level. That's based on the Word of God. It's like, make decisions based on the Word of God, yeah, not your feelings, yeah, that come and go and that will lie to you. So decide, schedule, and this is, ask the Holy Spirit, God, what does 2019 look like for my life and for my children, my grandchildren? And it's like, oh, my kids are all grown up. So you still have influence. You still have influence, whether biological children or spiritual children. God has good things for us. And I love what Gabriel shared recently about parents, don't just teach your kids the Bible, teach them to love the Bible. Teach them to love the Word of God. When you love the Word, it's so much better than just, I should read the Bible. I should know the Bible. It's like, no, love it. Love God. Don't just tell yourself, I should love God. I want to invite, is there some testimonies? I want to close with hearing two or three brief testimonies. I know there's tornadoes that went through Faribault. I know there's health issues that went through. I know things happen. Good things, tough things. Is there anyone who would like to share as we close the year out, something of God's faithfulness this year? Stephanie, you want to come on up? I got a microphone here. And just, you know, one other, two other, if you want to get ready. It's just really good to hear positive things that God is doing in a year. And in individuals, as we hear each other's testimonies, faith grows.
So a lot of you, is this on?
I think it's on.
I'm loud enough that I won't need it.
No, it's not on all the way. Hold on. There we go.
A lot of you know this story, but I'm going to share it again because I think it's important and it helps solidify it in me what God has done. So,
briefly,
I know. I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder a few years ago, but I was diagnosed a long time ago with depression. And this year was the best of times and the worst of times. But being on the worship team has really helped me, and I missed one time of when I was scheduled, and I legit had a migraine, and my faith was not there where I could do it. But I was going through a really hard time this summer because of other circumstances that I don't need to get into. But one time, and when I've been on the worship team for I don't know how long, but I've kind of come and gone, and this is the first time that when I hit rough times that I kept coming, and I'm thankful for the people here that I know have prayed for me faithfully. I'm thankful for my husband who has prayed for me faithfully, and for a pastors that pray for us faithfully.
Amen. Thank you, Stephanie. Thank you so much. We're in this together. Anyone else like to share a brief testimony? Come on up, get in line. Yeah, just come on up, April. Yeah, well, that's great. Lewis, and then April.
So, my previous employer is in the room, Joel, my brother-in-law. So this is kind of an employment story of God's faithfulness. So I decided to make a career change in May, and I got more into administration and politics and things like that. And then this summer, I was able to get a job working for campaigns. And then as I was working for that job, I was prepping for a job at the State House in St. Paul. And then as I was prepping for that, with the outcome of this year's election, the job opportunities dwindled and people were laid off. And so after that, I was told that there would be an opportunity to work at the state senate, so I prepped for that job and I memorized the state senators, things like that, contacted our local senator and then asked them about the job openings, and then he said that there were 6 offers already made. So those options fell through. So, one of the representatives from the Brainerd area talked with a federal staffer, a district manager, about some positions in the federal scene up in Brainerd and Congressional District 8, which is all of the Iron Range, Brainerd, Duluth. And so he contacted me, said that I should give him my resume, but he was very clear to say, if there's anyone more qualified, we're going to hire them. And so it was kind of, the representative from Brainerd kind of asked, hey, can you at least contact this guy, get a resume just in case you like him? And so I was very pessimistic about that opportunity. And then even in the phone conversation about what the job would entail, he was talking about like, yeah, just as a friend, I would apply at other places to, keep your options open. And then, so that was, kind of disappointing. And so I wasn't sure I would get this job. And I went down to Minneapolis from Brainerd to interview. And I had an interview with the district manager for that congressional district. And then the chief of staff came in and asked me some questions. And then the congressman was actually there. And he asked me questions. And so I thought it went really well. And then, I'll keep it brief. So I go out into the parking lot. Well, after the interview, he said, well, I suppose this is the part where we end the interview and talk about you behind your back. And so I was escorted out the building and then went to the parking lot, and I called my fiance and was just talking to her about the interview. And then I get a call from an unknown number, and it was the congressman. He says, hey, did you leave your HRCC badge in here? He's like, I'm leaving. I don't want to take care of this. And so I'm thinking, how embarrassing. You know, my chances were small, and now I just left something and look clumsy and everything. So I go back in the building, and they're still in the same room, and I don't see anything that I left. And I didn't know what an HRCC badge was. He looks at me and he says, normally we do this over the phone, but I called your references and heard nothing but good news after you left. And so I just wanted to let you know in person that you're hired. So, yeah. So it's exciting. Yeah, so I start officially soon, January 3rd, and it's just a really, really amazing opportunity. And especially when I called my fiance, she was crying because she had spent the last hour in prayer during my interview. And my parents had contacted all the siblings, and they were all praying for me. And so it was a huge, huge blessing from the Lord.
And didn't he say he does? There is no such thing as an HRCC badge?
Yeah. He's like, yeah, there wasn't an HRCC badge. I'll take care of it for you. Yeah. So it's amazing.
Did you have anything of interest this year, April?
So some of you might know that this has been like a really, really rough year for my family. We just had, this past Sunday, had our third miscarriage. So it has been pretty traumatic, I guess. But I do want to highlight one good thing that has happened this year. We bought our house in March, and we knew when we bought it that we were going to have to replace the roof within probably like 5 years. And we're like, we have a rubber membrane rock roof, so they're not really common at all, and they're really, really expensive to replace. And we're like, we're not sure how it's going to happen, but we really like this house. So, and we had had so many other houses fall through that we're like, this has got to be the house. So we bought the house, and then that was in March. And in September, the tornadoes went through. And never, ever have tornadoes in Faribault, ever, as you know. And the tornado, actually, our neighbor was sitting outside and watched it come down next to our house, go down like a block, and then it went back up. So it went right past our house, causing a tree to land on our roof. So now insurance is going to pay for it, and we don't have to. So that's one good thing.
Amen. Thank you. Okay, Kirk. Last one. Yeah. Good stuff. I mean, God is faithful, even in things that look like it is not so good.
Yeah, my home was hit by the tornado. I lost a quarter of my roof, and you maybe saw it at the Christmas party. Steve had taken some pictures. It was interesting to see it from the high vantage point.
The whole neighborhood is devastated.
But, you know, all in all, it's worked out pretty good. You know, got new siding, new roof, new insulation. And things, you know, it takes a while to get it all right back. But, you know, praise the Lord. My house is the most south part of my neighborhood. You would think my house would have been destroyed, but there was houses that are to the north. They're being completely rebuilt. They're down to the floorboards. And so I'm just thankful for the work of the men of the church came that following Saturday. We tarped it up, and the tarps held. Many times I'd wake up at night thinking the tarps were gone. There they were. They stayed.
Good.
So things work out. It's not the way, you know, just like that. Your life can change. That's the thing I learned. Things can happen quick, but God will take care of you.
Amen. Amen. Thanks, Jake. Amen. I mean, It's just good to share these stories. And this is what's part of the benefit of getting together and being connected to others' lives as you hear these stories. And you find out you're not alone. We're all wrestling with similar things. We're all in these bodies together, and God knows that, and He works through us, and it's very encouraging to hear God at work in other people's lives. So we're to love God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then I want to look at sister verse to that to finish up here. Because these testimonies are so important, and this is part of it. This is part of the story. It says in Matthew 22:37, and they're asking Jesus, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. He says mind, others say strength or might. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments. We're to love our God with all we got, and to love our neighbor like we love ourselves. And that is a simple, we know that verse. I would like you to commit to memory that passage right there for 2019. Just memorize that. Live it. Do it. Hold on to it. And God's grace will carry you through that. That will change all the law, all the do unto others, all the do's and don'ts of life with God and with others hang on those two commandments. If you want to know the Bible, it all is related to those two commandments. Love God and love your neighbor as yourself. Which, who doesn't love themselves? So Matthew 22, in a healthy way, 22:37-40, I'd like you to commit to memory, and you, your children, and your grandchildren will be benefited forever. So let's stand up, close in prayer. Father, we just thank you. Thank you, Lord, for this past year, all that you did, for your faithfulness, God. We're working through difficulties, for the highs and the lows, Lord. We trust you that you're in it all. And Lord, help us to love you with all we got in 2019 and to love our neighbor as ourselves. God, thank you that we're all made in the same way, have the same needs, have the same potential. Father, bless this year. Thank you for your goodness and for the great rewards of who you are. You're our very great reward. If you need prayer for anything, there's always someone up here to pray with you, agree with you. So I hope we can make it tomorrow night. Father, bless this ministry, Lord, that you would be glorified in it. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Give someone a hug on the way out.